This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله وقد أمرنا بالحق وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما ثم أما بعد. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bearing witness that none has the right to be worshipped or unconditionally obeyed except for Him. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His final messenger. We ask Allah to send His peace and blessings upon Him, the prophets and messengers that came before Him, His family and companions that served alongside Him, and those that follow in His blessed path until the Day of Judgment. We ask Allah to make us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, the ayah in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا until the end of the ayah. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily those who believe and they remain firm, the angels descend upon them and say to them, do not be afraid and do not grieve. This ayah is often brought up solely in the context of death, that when the believer is dying, the angels descend upon the believer and the angels put the believer at ease and the angels say to the believer, don't be afraid and don't grieve. وَأَبَشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ and glad tidings of the paradise that you were promised. And subhanAllah, one of the things about this verse is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not restrict this verse to the time of death, even though you will need the angels to descend upon you more at that time than any other time of your existence. And even though there is something distinct about that moment, which is that you can actually see the angels, not just perceive them, you can see them, you can hear them directly telling you, don't be afraid and do not grieve. But many of the scholars of tafsir mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not restricting this verse to the time of death is for the benefit that the angels descend upon us throughout our entire lives, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends them to be a comforting presence to us in our most difficult moments, especially when we are abiding by the part of istaqamu. قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Anytime we are saying our Lord is Allah and we're remaining steadfast, there is a descent of angels upon the believer that put them at ease and say, don't be afraid and don't grieve. And so basically understand the verse this way, that anytime there is a reason for you to be in a state of fear or grief, there is an opening for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cause angels to descend upon you and to settle your heart and to say, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْسَنُوا. Don't be afraid and do not grieve. Why is this so significant to interpret outside of the place of death? Because sometimes there are moments when we feel like we're suffocating by abiding by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or wanting to do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially when we see the devastating circumstances in the world. We feel like we're suffocating, but we need that opening from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it is not the khanqa, the strangle of death. And I want to take you to two scenes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we often disconnect. Where do we summon that inner strength that is necessary for continuous steadfastness? There is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the worshipper, and there is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the warrior. And the ingredient that grounded the Prophet ﷺ in his worship is exactly the same ingredient that grounded him as a warrior alayhi salatu wasalam. How? The very famous hadith of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, I walked in on the Prophet ﷺ as he was in his qiyam, and I joined the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in the first rak'ah. And this is Hudhayfa, who is the furthest away from hypocrisy, the secret keeper of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a very famous hadith. And he said, I prayed behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he started to recite Surah Al-Baqarah. And I thought he would recite only up to 100 verses, but he continued alayhi salatu wasallam. until he finished 200 verses. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu is admitting that he's getting a little antsy, because the Prophet in his qiyam would recite one verse at a time and he would make dua and dhikr after every verse. So his Surah Al-Baqarah is not like our Surah Al-Baqarah. Then he finished Surah Al-Baqarah. Then I thought he'd finish. Then he started alayhi salatu wasalam An-Nisa. I thought he'd read 100 verses. He finished 100 verses. He kept going. He finished An-Nisa. You can imagine Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, his exhaustion, and he's thinking, okay, finally we're going to go into ruku'. Bada'a bi Ali Imran. He started Ali Imran. I thought he'd do 100 verses. He finished the whole surah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he went into ruku', and you think ruku' is a break. His ruku' was as long as his standing, alayhi salatu wasalam. His sujood was as long as his standing, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that's why when a companion of that stature says, hamamtu bisu, that I thought to do something really bad, which was to abandon the Prophet ﷺ in his salah and sujood, I couldn't keep up with him. The way he could ground himself in salah was the most ajeeb thing about the Prophet ﷺ, the strangest thing about the Prophet ﷺ, by the words of our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, it was the strangest thing about him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most amazing thing about him was how long he could stand in prayer at night. And he got up, and what did he recite? He finished As-Sab'a Tiwal, the seven long surahs. So he continued with Al-Ma'idah alayhi salatu wassalam, continued with Al-An'am, and he kept on going, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the same pace. Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha said, I remember seeing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sick, in his sickness, and he recited all seven of the long surahs in the first rak'ah alayhi salatu wassalam. It was strange. It was a strange thing to see him grounded in his salah with his feet swelling as if he's not noticing alayhi salatu wasalam the swelling in his feet. There's physical pain, but there's spiritual joy. What he's getting is greater than what he's giving alayhi salatu wasalam. But if you saw him in that, you say, MashaAllah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam's feet had thabat, firmness, that no one else had in the time of prayer. Now compare that to the battlefield where Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Ali radiallahu anhu is no joke. He's a lion of Allah. Ali radiallahu anhu is the most courageous of people. He's the person that responds to the call out from the other side and goes to the battlefield. You talk about front line, Ali radiallahu anhu always confronts their front line. But he says, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ali, كُنَّا إِذَا حْمَرَّ الْبَأْسُ وَلَقِيَ الْقَوْمُ الْقَوْمُ, that when the sun used to be right on top of our heads in battle, وَلَقِيَ الْقَوْمُ الْقَوْمُ, like we were face to face, literally in the heat of battle, قَالَ تَقَيْنَا بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ فَمَا يَكُونُ مِنَّا أَحَدٌ أَدْنَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْهُ. We would all start hiding behind the Prophet ﷺ. We'd take shelter with the Prophet ﷺ. And no one would be closer to the enemy than him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You talk about front lines. No one would be closer to the enemy than him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He'd be right in their face. Usually the leader stays behind. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed the game. Changed the dynamics. He would be right in their face. Ana nabiyyu la kadhib. Ana ibn Abd al-Muttalib. I am the Prophet. And that is no lie. I am the son of Abd al-Muttalib. Allahumma nasrika al-aziz. Oh Allah, send down your victory upon us. Pour down your victory upon us. Ali saying we'd have to get behind him. So there's a connection between the firmness of the feet of the Prophet ﷺ at night that no one could understand and the firmness of the Prophet ﷺ in the battlefield that no one could understand. What planted his feet there, planted his feet here. You hear about the Prophet ﷺ as present as he was with his family. When the call of Adhan came, كَأَنَّهُ لَا يَعْرِفُنَا, it's as if he didn't even know us anymore. Immediate to the salah. وَثَبَى صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ فِرَاشِهِ, he would jump out of his bed if he was sleeping, صلى الله عليه وسلم, like a lion. And he would rush to the masjid, عليه الصلاة والسلام. When Adhan comes, the call of Allah overwhelms the call of every other comfort in this world. But have you compared that to what Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says? When he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was ashja' al-nas. He was the most courageous man I ever saw. وَقَدْ فَزِعَ أَهْلُ الْمَدِينَةِ لَيْلَةً سَمِعُوا صَوْتًا. One time the people of Medina shook because they heard a loud noise on the outside, like we were being attacked. There's a process that has to happen there. Is it worth it? The same process when it comes to salah. Is it worth it? Do I go now? Is it worth it at night, or do I hit the snooze button? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Or maybe I'm scared when there is an enemy present. You see, the battlefield is different from jihadun nafs, the struggle against the self. This is serious. I might find someone on the other side, not just my own exhaustion, but an energetic enemy on the other side that's ready to kill me. And Medina is full of warriors. Medina is full of righteous warriors. But Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, by the time people got to the edges of Medina, تلقاهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على فرس لأبي طلحة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم met them on a horse of Abu Talha. He took the first horse he could find, صلى الله عليه وسلم. The horse was unsaddled. Think of the image. And he said, وَهُوَ مُتَقَلِّدٌ سَيْفَهُ عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had his sword hanging on his neck. Like he jumped on a horse, put his sword on his neck, and ran to the outside of Medina by himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By the time other people got up and thought to confront, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already cleared the premise. And he came back and he said, lam tura'u, lam tura'u. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid. It's nothing. I checked it out. Is there not a connection between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hearing the call for prayer and then hearing the call for protection of the ummah? Is there not a connection between his willingness, alayhi salatu wassalam, to be in the front line of salah and to be in the front line of battle? Is there not a connection between what he generates of contentment in his prayer and what he generates of courage in his perseverance, alayhi salatu wassalam? It's all interrelated. In fact, it's so interlaced that the Prophet ﷺ embedded these elements into the moment of the battle. The hadith of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he says about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kharajna ma'a rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi ba'di ghazawatihi. We'd go out with the Prophet ﷺ in battle. This is not, so it's not one ghazwa, it's not one battle. It's a consistent trend. And he says, fi harrin shadid. Sometimes it would be so hot that he said, إِنَّ أَحَدَنَا لَيَضَعُ يَدَهُ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ أَوْ كَفَّهُ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ. I mean, imagine the scene of the companions. They literally start trying to shelter themselves from the sun like this. That's how hot it was in the desert with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْحَرْ. And he said, مَا فِينَا صَائِمٌ إِلَّا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَعَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنِ رَوَاحَ. Not a single one of us would be fasting except for the Prophet ﷺ and Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Think about that. He's bringing it in, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's seeing it as a means of bringing about perseverance. What does this have to do with us beyond the admiration of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is perfect in this and perfect in that? Perfect in his sincerity, perfect in his steadfastness, perfect in his courage, perfect in his contentment. If you go back to the ayah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, that verily those who say our Lord is Allah and then they stay firm. The narration of they staying firm is عَلَى فَرَائِدِ اللَّهِ أَوْ عَلَى أَمْرِ اللَّهِ, on the obligations that Allah has placed upon them, or in relation to this affair from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What that means is there's a direct connection between how quickly you respond to the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls you to that are completely ordinary, outside of the extraordinary, not related to confronting the tyranny of these people, not related to Gaza. There is a connection between your willingness and your readiness when Allah calls you to anything and you squash the hesitation and you respond to the courage that is required for the moment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us in this. Now, Allah azza wa jal also says, and I'll conclude with this. Qala subhana, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Inna Allaha ma'as-sabirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, seek my help with patience and prayer. Indeed, Allah is with the patient. How many times have you seen the second part of that ayah clipped out and plastered on something? Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin, inna Allaha ma'as sabirin, inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. It's fine, Allah is with the patient, but are you actually part of that category here, because you have to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you to do in the first part of the ayah in order to qualify for the reward of the second part of the ayah. So are you simply saying, inna Allah ma'a sabirin, and then defining sabr yourself, defining patience yourself? When the scholars talk about this ayah, as-sabr here is actually referring to the practice of as-sawm, fasting. Fasting is patience that is required to restrict you from desire. Do you hold yourself back from desire when you have the opportunity to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The ability to control yourself, willpower, first starts with discipline. As-salah is the patience that's required to pray long days and long nights is the patience to abide by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the exertion of energy. There's a physical response when you come to prayer, when you get up for salah, when you plant your feet, when you take your time in your recitation. There's a physical exertion. And so willpower is discipline, and then willpower is determination. There are two types of sabr here. There are two types of patience that are being alluded to. As we're in the moment that we're in right now, where things are going on for so long. Things are going on for so long. It's been so many months. How long are we going to talk about this? How long are we going to keep on doing this? It doesn't seem like any doors are opening. It doesn't seem like this. It doesn't seem like that. By the way, objectively speaking, this was possibly the worst week for Israel since its illegal existence. Objectively speaking, if you just took a step back, an ICC warrant on an Israeli prime minister and a defense minister, who would have thought that's possible? An ICC order against Israel, multiple nations around the world recognizing Palestine all in one week, it was a miserable week for them. Alhamdulillah, may Allah give them many more miserable weeks. But we have to be able to take a step back and be like, you know what, there's a perseverance here that's required for this. No one said this was going to be a few months here. No one said this is going to be a few months. But while you're trying to figure out the next strategy to do this or the next strategy to do that, realize that there's a direct correlation between your increase in your ibadah and your quickness to respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your quickness to respond to the next action that's necessary there. Be like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the worshipper. Be like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the warrior. Be like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no one who manifests perfection more than him. There's no one who was more worthy of victory like him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The more we become like him, the more deserving we become, the more dedicated we become, the more we start to bring about, inshallah ta'ala, the reality that we know came about with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah grant us that reality. May Allah allow us to summon that strength through staying dedicated to the major and the minor acts of worship and staying the course with him subhanahu wa ta'ala and growing in our journey towards him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow that to be an ummah-wide reality that leads to the victory for this ummah. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'il al-muslimin fastaghfiru innahu al-ghafurur rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma ghfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat innaka sami'un qaribun mujibu da'wat. Allahumma ghfir lana warhamna wa'fu anna wa la tu'adhibna. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم اغفر لوالدينا رب ارحمهما كما ربونا صغارا ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين وفي السودان وفي كل مكان اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والكاذبين ودمر أعداء الدين اللهم أهلك الظالمين بالظالمين وأخرجنا وإخواننا من بينهم سالمين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على النعماء يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقيم الصلاة